gentlemen, welcome back to On Deck. This is Levi Weaver. I am sort of filling the shoes of Stephen Nesbitt, who usually handles all of the heavy lifting here. Stephen is on vacation this week, and so in his place, we are the beneficiaries of Caitlin McGrath. She is usually covering the Toronto Blue Jays. She's here with us to fill in for Stephen. Caitlin, welcome to the show. How has your weekend? This is airing on Monday. How was your weekend?
It was great. Covered a little Blue Jays baseball, which I'm sure we'll talk about in a little bit. And yeah, I'm really excited to join you this week. And like I haven't done podcasting in a while, but hopefully my experience comes in handy and I'm not too rusty. So thanks.
It's fine. I have no idea what I'm doing. And twice a week I jump on video and do it anyway. So we're going to be fine or we're going to be a disaster. Either way, hopefully it'll be very listenable. On this week's show, or rather today's show, we are going to talk about a topic that has probably been a little bit done to death, but there have been some new developments in the will-they-won't-they story of Shohei Ohtani and the Angels. We are also going to preview our top series for the weekend, and we're going to make some home run chase picks. Caitlin will be filling in for Steven. Hopefully, just pick somebody bad. Like, if you could pick Luis Arias, that'd be great, because yeah. I need to catch up. I'm way behind on this, and I could use all the help that I could get. So today's main topic, Caitlin, there were some stories that surfaced this week from John Heyman, John Morosi, that the Angels are, and I'm making air quotes for those of you just listening instead of watching, listening on Shohei Ohtani. What do you think? Let's get your take on this. Are they going to do this? Are they going to actually trade Shohei Ohtani?
I mean, you gotta listen, right? You always gotta listen. That's what I say. No harm in listening, as the old saying goes, maybe. I am on the side of thinking this will not happen. I mean, I understand from sort of a process, team rebuilding, team building standpoint, why you don't want to let a amazing high caliber player like Shohei Ohtani leave your team and you get nothing for him. But on the flip side, you could also be the team that traded Shohei Ohtani. Like, there's no deal in the history of baseball that's ever going to be good enough for Shohei Ohtani. That's what I always come back to. Listening, and maybe some team blows you away with the offer, but I can't fathom what that offer would ever be to make it happen.
No harm in listening unless there are sirens involved, as we learned from lore. That's the thing about like the package that it would take to get Ohtani is, will somebody pay, like way overpay for a month and a half or 2 months of this guy, you know? But I was thinking about this today, like some of the teams that have been sort of rumored to be involved, it's the usual suspects. It's the Dodgers, the Mets, the Padres, maybe, which would be weird because we'll talk about that in just a little bit. The Yankees, all these teams that are supposed to be good, but maybe underperforming a little bit, have some budgets. The fans in Seattle have been chanting, we want Shohei or bring us Ohtani, bring us the head of Shohei Ohtani on a plate, I think is what they said. I think the benefit to pursuing this is not just in having him play for your team as you chase a World Series, because baseball is one of those sports that maybe more than any other sport, one guy is not going to probably be the difference between you winning a World Series and not winning a World Series. You have a good team or you don't.
Case in point, the Angels, who have two
of
the greatest players.
Exactly. They have two of them, right? But I think the possible benefit is this. If you are trying to go make a run at him in free agency, first of all, I don't think whatever team trades for him, if they think they're going to have this exclusive negotiating window, I don't think that's going to matter. I think he's going to hit free agency anyway. He's got a chance to shatter the all-time record here. Like, he's going to go to free agency. But if you can give him a couple of months in your clubhouse, around your team, you let your people get their arms around him, as they say, and show him, hey, you could really thrive here. Like, look at this great weight room we have. Here's a wonderful little, you know, we can take care of whatever dietary needs you have. Look how much our fans love you. Look how excited they are. Oh, and by the way, you've been on this losing team for so long. Doesn't it feel good to come here and win? Wouldn't you really want to come back here next year? I think that really, as much as anything, is the benefit to trying to pry Ohtani out of the hands of the Angels, even if it is a little bit of an overpay for somebody who is, for all intents and purposes, a rental. I mean, it's enormous risk with enormous reward.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. And like you said, it could be a short window that you have with him to kind of present all your team could offer, but that's better than nothing. And it's more time than any other team is going to have to sort of show off. So, you know, if he was traded to a team and it went really well and he loved the facilities and he loved the team resources and he really clicked with the team and the coaching staff, you know, ultimately it's going to come down to money. And like you said, like, he's going to go to free agency. He has to go to free agency. He has to see what's out there for him. But it can help having a glimpse at what another team is like. He's been with the Angels his entire major league career. He'll maybe get a chance to see what another team is like. And that could, you know, help him choose that team. Or off, it could go the other way.
Honestly, you might be exactly right. Like, the best chance the Angels have to re-sign Shohei Ohtani might be to trade him to the Mets.
Exactly.
You see what you could be putting up exactly. with? Wasn't it actually kind of okay here? Go deal with all of that dysfunction for a while. I still don't think it happens. I still don't think you can be the team that traded Ohtani. I mean, the last time there was a player even close to this, and that player was traded, what was it, 86 years before that team won a World Series again? Sounds about right for the Angels. So the curse of Shohei would be just heavy on the heads of the Angels.
Baseball is due for a new curse, though. So
it is. They've gotten rid of a lot of curses. The Cubs won. The Red Sox. It was like Cleveland is the last real curse we have. Trade Ohtani to the Guardians is what I'm saying.
There you go. That's how it happens.
He would hit more home runs than the rest of the team combined for the rest of the season.
Guys tend to think looking sharp means starchy Oxfords and stiff chinos rather than effortless comfort, but it's possible to have it both ways. I'm all set for summer thanks to Mack Weldon. The Vesper polo shirt is so breathable you can wear it on the golf course, but it looks classy enough to wear to a party. The Maverick Tech chino short is ultra flexible, and the Pima Crew neck t-shirt is perfect for those casual weekends. There's no need to be uncomfortable in your clothing ever again. Some guys just want to look good without calling attention to themselves. Mack Weldon apparel gives you understated good looks for understated confidence. Mack Weldon clothes are designed to fit your style and the demands of modern life. They look like regular clothes but feel like the latest in modern comfort. They're the go-to choice for guys who want to look great without even trying. Breathable underwear that keeps you cool, dry, and comfy all day. Crazy comfortable but elevated sweatpants. An upgraded classic polo with antimicrobial silver threads. An ultra-soft antimicrobial tee for when you need to stay fresh longer. That's the Silver Crew neck t-shirt. Get timeless looks with modern comfort from Mack Weldon. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code MLBSHOW. That's MackWeldon.com. Promo code MLB Show.
All right, our first series of the week. Let's hear what Caitlin has to say. Now, Caitlin covers the Blue Jays, so we decided let's make it a little easier for her just on her maiden voyage here.
These are the training reels we're on right now, so.
But it's an interesting series, right? If the Padres Blue Jays was not interesting, we would have forced you to talk about I don't know, the Angels. But yeah, so Padres and Blue Jays, what do you got?
Well, you know, these teams are really interesting because I think both teams went into the season very highly touted, favored maybe to be World Series contenders, maybe even meet in the World Series. Things haven't gone according to plan for either of these teams, more so for the Padres. The Blue Jays underperforming probably overall this season. They're third place in the American League East. They're in a wild card position, and they came into the year really trying to go for the division this year. And they play in the hardest division, which has been a bit troublesome for them. But that said, they've been playing really well lately. They just swept the Arizona Diamondbacks on Sunday. So that's now 8 of their last games they've won. And actually the one game they didn't win, they were no-hit by the Tigers, which is like probably the strangest sequence of games in a season. So you have the Blue Jays that are starting to kind of look like the team we thought they would be. And then you have the Padres coming in that are still not the team we thought they would be. They just will have lost a series to the Phillies over this weekend. They just never have gotten clicking. I mean, their offense hasn't been going. There's just a lot of holes on that team. And they've just been probably among the most, you know, disappointing teams, I think, along with, you know, a team like the Mets, and maybe you want to throw in like the Angels too. And they're going to be at a crossroads really soon here too, where they're really one of those teams that is on the bubble. Are they going to buy or are they going to sell? Knowing their history, they're probably going to buy, even if it's not maybe the wisest decision for them.
Preller has to have a poster on his wall that's just the Dumb and Dumber thing. Be like, so you're saying there's a chance?
Every time.
On the Padres, I was taking a look at their last 2 weeks, and it's like, Manny Machado has started to heat up. He hit his 300th home run. He's got a 1287 OPS going into Sunday's action. Fernando Tatis has been hot again. His OPS over the last couple of weeks is at 900. They've got this kid, Matthew Batten, who I must admit that I had never heard of before. It's three games. It's a small sample. He's like 2 for 4, but he got a home run. Like, he's doing something. But after that, you're right. It falls off, and there are holes in that lineup. Like, Soto is hitting 200 over the last couple of weeks. And I mean, he's still walking a ton, but you need Juan Soto to be Juan Soto. Blake Snell has been a huge bright spot in their rotation. I looked at his last 10 starts, 58 innings pitched, so just under 6 innings per start. He's given up a total of 4 earned runs. He has an 0.62 ERA in his last 10 starts. He struck out 91. He's walked 25. His season ERA went from 5.55 to 2.71. Joe Musgrove has had a great last couple of starts as well. As disappointing as it would be, being this far back in the standings, and they're currently 8 back in the wild card, they are 10.5 pending the final score of the Dodgers game on Sunday. They've got some pieces that if they were to decide to sell, they could make a very quick turnaround and avoid one of those really long rebuilds. I just don't know if Preller has it in him to do that, to sell and to be like to declare defeat when you've got so much talent on the roster and you think there has to be a way, right? There has to be a way to get it back into that wild card spot. I don't know if he'll do it.
Right. And I mean, their window is kind of right now. Juan Soto will be with them for next season too, I believe. And then you're kind of unsure of where the team is going to go. So you don't really want to waste this year. So if you can do something and push them over the edge, you want to do that this year or next. You really don't want to be selling. The only thing you could potentially do is sort of one of those buying and selling type of trade deadlines. But, you know, those are sort of hard to execute. So they're an interesting team to watch for sure. And that division, the NL West, is actually a lot more interesting than I thought it would be this year with the Diamondbacks that I just saw. I mean, they got swept by the Blue Jays, but they're an exciting young team. You can see a lot of potential there. And obviously the Dodgers now are kind of finding their stride after, you know, battling so many injuries and, you know, somewhat of a weird season for them.
My series this week is the Brewers and the Phillies. For all of the Cincinnati Reds excitement that we had over the last month, and I still think it was warranted. Ellie De La Cruz has been one of my favorite players to watch in a very long time. But guess what? They just got swept by the Brewers. The Brewers are back in first place again, all by themselves. The Brewers are starting to get really good contributions on their offense from guys like William Contreras, has a 1350 OPS over the last couple of weeks. Vic Caratini, who you don't probably really think of as like a super megastar, his OPS over 1,000 for the last couple weeks. Willy Adames, 994. And then Christian Yelich is having a comeback this year. His OPS the last 2 weeks is 945. He's been so much better, and it's been great to see him kind of return to form. You like to see the stars be the stars, and he's done that. It does drop off significantly after those four. I think the next highest OPS in the last couple of weeks is like 720 or something like that. But those guys have been carrying the offense. But meanwhile, I mean, the rotation, Corbin Burns, Freddie Peralta, even Wade Miley. Colin Ray struggled a little bit lately, but their rotation has been very good. And then in the bullpen, obviously we know Devin Williams is a megastar in the bullpen. But Yoel Piamps has been kind of an unsung hero this year as well. He's got a 1.83 for ERA for the year.
Former Blue Jay.
Yeah, and in the last 2 weeks, so maybe you can tell me a little more about him, but in the last 2 weeks, he hasn't given up an earned run. He's striking out 13.5 guys per 9 innings. He has walked nobody, and he has stranded every runner that he has inherited over the last 2 weeks. What should we know about Yoel Piamps? What is Piamps? Am I saying that correctly? Piamps?
Yeah, I think it's Yoel Piamps. He was not with the Blue Jays for very long, and it was one of those, it was either 2020 or 2021, one of those kind of lost seasons for me where it was like pandemic. So I'm just watching them on the screen for the most part. But he had good stuff. That was a thing. Like he was early on in his career with the Blue Jays. And so still kind of struggling the way that sort of relief pitchers can early on. But he's obviously figured something out. I think he was with the Royals briefly, and he's really figured it out with the Brewers this season. But yeah, you always saw the stuff there. And sometimes it just takes that. Like you see that all the time with relievers where it's like it's not clicking with one team for whatever reason. And then it's just a new set of eyes on you. Sometimes it takes a couple sets of eyes on you. And sometimes that can be all it takes.
I did a bad thing last night. I started looking at relievers that the Rangers used to have. And I was like, how different would the Rangers bullpen look if they had this foursome? Emmanuel Clase, Jordan Romano, Pete Fairbanks, and I'm trying to remember who the fourth one was. Oh, Chris Martin. Those four are like mega dominant relievers. And I just did like the trade tree. Like what all did they get back? Where did those pieces go? Basically, if they kept all four of those guys, it would mean that they didn't have Jake Odorizzi.
Yeah, that's it. You could build an elite bullpen for every team for guys that are no longer on that team. Like there's a lot of guys out there that were with the Blue Jays and now they're dominating and they were like, you know, up and down guys for the Blue Jays. Sometimes it just changes scenery, man.
On the other side of that matchup with Milwaukee, we've got the Phillies. So on June 2nd, the Phillies lost to the Nationals. The Phillies were 25-32. They are 25-10 plus whatever they did on Sunday. You said they won. So they're 26-10. Since June 2nd, they are a half game out of the wild card. Now they have had a huge resurgence. Craig Kimbrel looks sharp again in the bullpen. Aaron Nola has been locked down in the rotation. Christopher Sanchez has been pretty good of late as well. And as of Saturday, Bryce Harper snapped his home run drought. He had not homered since I think May 25th. He has had a 1091 OPS the last couple of weeks. Bryson Stott is hot. Edmundo Sosa is hot. The thing now is if they can get... So Kyle Schwarber hit home runs in both games of that doubleheader on Saturday. Hopefully that is a return to form for him. If they can get Trey Turner right, and Trey Turner has just been an extended disaster at the plate this year. If they can get him straight, if they can get Harper's power back, if they can get Schwarber, I mean, those are three guys you really expect to be pretty legitimate contenders. Add that to a team that's already as hot as they've been, all of a sudden the Phillies look kind of dangerous in the National League.
Obviously, the Braves are the class of that division, but other than that, that's a very not easy division, but it's a strange one right now. And I think that they can make up ground with the way that the Mets are playing and the Marlins are a good, young, interesting team. But
we are still a very pro Marlins podcast.
Oh,
here.
Okay. That's great.
Very pro fish.
Okay.
Yeah.
But still, like, that is definitely a division the Phillies can make a run in and gain some ground in, I think. And that's an interesting matchup because you've got a team where obviously the strength is pitching, generally speaking, with the Brewers. And then you've got such a great elite offense with the Phillies. You looked at the Phillies offense, the way that it's stacked, and it's like you know this team is due. You know this team is going to be better. I kind of like, not to go back to the Blue Jays too much, but it's similar where the Blue Jays have a pretty stacked lineup and they haven't really like clicked completely all at once. And you kind of are just waiting for it to come. And it did a little bit this weekend. And the Phillies are kind of the same way. I feel like they're kind of a second half team, maybe. That's how I'm going to look at them.
Honorable mentions for series to keep an eye on this week. The Rays are in Texas to face the Rangers. The Dodgers are in Baltimore to face the Orioles. The Giants going to Cincinnati to take on the Reds. The Yankees are going to LA to try to steal Shohei Ohtani from the Angels. And the Diamondbacks are going to try and rebound. Good luck, because they're going to be in Atlanta facing the Braves. It is time to step into, what does Stephen call it? The on-deck arcade. Just to give everyone an update on the arms race, I actually had to look this up this week. Steven usually does this for me, and I get to be surprised when I win every week. Well, I have a two-game losing streak because I picked Zach Eflin. He actually did not pitch. He was removed. I don't know why. He didn't pitch against Kansas City. So Luis Castillo with his game score version 2.0, it was only 46. That was very beatable, and I still lost because mine was zero, so Hope you're enjoying your vacation, Steven. You have a 2-game winning streak. But filling in for Steven, Caitlin is going to pick. I'm going to let her pick first. This is the home run chase, a hitter who we think will hit the most home runs this week. We have given Caitlin the list of teams that Steven has chosen from, so she knows what the boundaries are. Who do you have this week? And I'm just going to write it down, Luis Arraez.
That was my second choice. But my first choice was I'm going to go with the Red Sox, and I'm going to go with Rafael Devers. The Red Sox play the A's this week, and then they play the Mets at home. And so I'm liking Devers' chances to get a few home runs, though I did look that you picked him a few weeks ago and he did nothing for you. So hopefully...
I haven't looked this up, but I'm pretty sure that I picked Shohei Ohtani the only week this season that he hit zero home runs. I got zero from Shohei Ohtani. Trade him.
Not meant to be.
All right. My pick this week, I have been saving the Mets until I think that Pete Alonso is completely healthy. So I'm taking the easy layup, and hopefully Pete Alonso doesn't pull a Shohei and screw me out of a bunch of home runs. So Pete Alonso, Rafael Devers. That is our show for today. Next up on the Athletic Baseball Podcast feed or stream, I don't know the words, I'm not a professional podcaster, we have Starkville with Jason Stark and Doug Glanville. That is always an interesting listen. They have some phenomenal baseball brains and keep it interesting. They will have their fan trivia, of course, and you get to listen to them talk about weird baseball stuff. What more could you ask for? Thanks, everybody, for joining us. Thank you, Caitlin, for joining us. Steven, I hope you're enjoying your vacation wherever you've gone. He wouldn't even tell us. He's like, don't talk to me. Don't text me. I'm
secret location.
Suckers. Yeah. All right. Enjoy the rest of your day. Watch baseball. End of podcast.